you know, they got a slim chance, like 12.5%, according to Money Puck, to make the playoffs. Kind of a devastating loss on Monday for them. And the Hanifin loss, how big is this on the back end, Salim?
Hey, Jason, it's massive. You look at how much Hanifin had evolved this season, even before Daryl Sutter came on. He was playing top pairing minutes alongside Chris Tanev, and Tanev's addition has definitely done wonders for the back end and elevated Hanifin's game. And we've seen Daryl Sutter praise Hanifin numerous times, and at one point the other day saying, before he got injured, saying that he was ready to lead his own pair. And that was part of the reason why the pairs ended up being shuffled, where Chris Tanev is now on the top unit with Mark Giordano, and Hanifin is playing with Rasmus Anderson. It's a huge loss, Jason. Hanifin was playing against the likes of McDavid and Draisaitl fairly frequently. I don't think he's ever going to be a high-octane offensive defenseman, but he can still move the puck out of his own back end fairly well. And his improvements defensively, positionally, he's a lot better than he was before. And he really was a cog in this team that was important. And this is a massive blow to them, because now all of a sudden you have Nikita Nesterov that's a top four blue liner, which maybe isn't ideal for a National Hockey League team. And it means more responsibility for Yusuf Alamäki, who's had some struggles this season. So Hanifin's loss is massive, and it really does make it that much harder for the Calgary Flames to make this unlikely push towards a playoff spot.
It's been a little while now that Sutter's been in charge. Offensively, with the forwards, are you seeing some changes that are, you know, helping some of those guys find their games that maybe wasn't there under the previous group?
Yeah, it seems like it's a bit of a process. I think Johnny Gaudreau alluded to it initially, where he basically said, "I might not be comfortable with this, but we are having some success. I have to adapt to the new system," which is dumping and chasing, and it's, you know, shots from the point, it's cycling. And Gaudreau's been a player that sort of thrives off the rush for the most part in his career, where he's a high-risk player that wants offense and is more likely than not to get that when he's streaking down the ice and in full stride when he gets his shot off. Whereas with Sutter's system, it seems like it's a lot more controlled. It's a lot more positional awareness kind of thing. It took a bit of time. I think Gaudreau does look better as of late. And I don't think Sutter is sort of mandating that these guys dump the puck in the second that they hit the offensive blue line. It seems like they are allowed a bit of creativity once they get there. It's just, you know, it's not simply just dump and chase. We've seen Gaudreau play fairly well. We saw that phenomenal pass the other day from Matthew Tkachuk to him off a bad change that led to Gaudreau's goal. So it's not just dump and chase, and it has taken a bit of time even for Jacob Markstrom to get used to playing, to seeing less pucks, but it has improved. Regardless of the record under Sutter, which I believe is still worse than the record under Ward, they do look positionally better, and it looks like Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau are adapting more now, and they look better than they did even 10 days ago.
Speaking of Johnny Gaudreau, it's been a conversation that had some whispers here and there for a while in Calgary. You know, you've got Lindholm, you got Gaudreau, you've got Tkachuk. Like, they got some good players there. I'm hesitant to want to trade maybe the guy who's clearly the most proven offensive player on your team, because then you're just looking for a guy who can score offense for your team. What do you think happens in the offseason, and does it maybe all depend, first of all, what happens to Brad Treliving?
Yeah, that's it. Very few general managers get 7 full years to enact their plan. And you're right, this is a good, on paper, a good collection of players, Jason. I mean, you have some good offensive talent in Monahan, Gaudreau, Matthew Tkachuk, and then even their back end, Hanifin was rounding into form as a blue liner this year. Rasmus Anderson was supposed to have taken that step. He probably didn't this year, but even still, you have Giordano playing fairly well at age 37, even though he might be a bit overpaid. Chris Tanev has had a phenomenal year. Like, you have the pieces. To me, the biggest decision, though, isn't Gaudreau, but it's what you do with Matthew Tkachuk. And it isn't talked about a ton, but his qualifying offer when he's a restricted free agent in the summer of 2022, that's going to be $9 million. And I think it's akin to the sort of conundrum that they were in last offseason. Is Gaudreau the 99-point player, or is this the new Gaudreau? And I think with Tkachuk, is he that 77-point player who was a threat in pretty much every game he played and who dragged his teammates into the fight? Is that Matthew Tkachuk, or is this season of Matthew Tkachuk the version of him that we'll be seeing heading forward? And the team's got to make the decision on Gaudreau for sure. His no movement or his no trade clause kicks in this offseason. But also Tkachuk, in an era where you're probably going to have a flat salary cap for the next couple of seasons, does it make sense to have a $9 million winger? And is Matthew Tkachuk a top line winger? So it'll be fascinating to see. And, you know, truly, you wonder how many mulligans you get from your ownership. You know, this is the fifth head coach he's had. He's one of the most active general managers in the league at constantly making calls and trying to improve his team. I think the Flames have had fewer draft picks than all but five National Hockey League teams over his tenure, but clearly it hasn't worked. And it's one thing to acquire players. It's another thing to assemble a team. And I think both Treliving and Bergevin in Montreal are good at acquiring players, but assembling a team is maybe something that they haven't been able to do well in recent years.
You know, it's pretty amazing to talk about even, you know, that even Tkachuk could be on, you know, on his way out. Am I wrong in not thinking that he is kind of the heartbeat of that team when they're firing all cylinders?
You're not wrong, Jason. It just, it hasn't translated this year. That was, you know, even coming from a different part of the country over here to cover the team for the first time, that was the perception across Canada that the Calgary Flames were Matthew Tkachuk. He was the spark plug. He was the guy that was looked at as pretty much the guaranteed future captain after Giordano retires. But this year, it doesn't look like he's 100% there, you know. And even today in the Battle of Alberta, like it's just, it doesn't seem like he's himself. And that might be revealed after the season, that it's an injury that he was trying to play through. It might be, you know, that players only meeting that sort of changed the course for this team this year. It might be something else, but I think coming into this year, the whole idea was that this guy, he's going to be what the franchise built around and the key piece heading forward. And now again, it's just a decision. Do you pay a guy potentially $9 million and in a flat cap world, and you're not sure if he's a number one National Hockey League winger? And it'll be fascinating to see how it unfolds. But definitely that's been the biggest surprise for me covering this team, is just how we're not talking about Tkachuk for the good things that he's capable of doing. Instead, it's where is he these days?
Now, confidence is a strange thing, and even good players at times can lose it. So here's the question, though. I'm sure the Flames, they're rested, the orders aren't, but Connor McDavid right now is on fire. How do you see the Flames matching up tonight? Is it Backlund who's going to get that responsibility as much as they can?
Yeah, I think the last time these two teams met, it was before the trade deadline, I believe, and Sam Bennett had some of the responsibilities, and he actually played really well. So the Flames, I would imagine it's Backlund, who's seen plenty of McDavid over the years. And again, you have this new D pairing as well of Giordano and Tanev that's basically been Sutter's go-to pairing for tough matchups. The issue with Calgary is that their defense hasn't played that well this year either. I know a lot of the publicity is about their forwards that haven't achieved, but you know, Rasmus Anderson hasn't had a good year by any stretch. It looks like it'll be Nesterov and him that'll, if McDavid and Draisaitl are split up, then they'll have to take some of those responsibilities. So I imagine it'll be Backlund that gets the big assignment of covering McDavid, and it'll be Giordano and Tanev that chip in there. I don't think Sutter looks at Monahan as a matchup center quite yet, and that hasn't really been his MO during his career. And then I see someone like Andrew Mangiapane as well helping out, trying to just contain the guys. You know, in such a season that's sort of off the charts for all the right reasons, I think someone on TSN said recently, you just hope to contain them. So it would probably be Backlund, Mangiapane up front, and then Giordano and Tanev, plus someone like Derek Ryan, who's very, very responsible in his own end as well.
Salim, appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight and Saturday. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, talk to you soon. Take care.